ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीर्वुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 68 एंटिटल्ड द मैरिज ऑफ सांब टेक्स्ट नंबर रिटन टेक्स्ट नंबर 21 and 22. It's not written in the board, but you can repeat after me.
Ugrasena kshiteshesho यद्व आज्ञापयत् प्रभुः तद् अव्यग्रदिय श्रुत्वा कुरुद्वम् अविलम्बितम्। उग्रसेनक्षितेशेषो यद्व आज्ञापयत् प्रभुः तद् अव्यग्रदिय श्रुत्वा कुरुद्वम् अविलम्बितम्। उग्रसेनक्षितेशेषो यद्व आज्ञापयत् प्रभुः तद् अव्यग्रदिय श्रुत्वा कुरुद्वम् अविलम्बितम्। उग्रसेन क्षितेशेषो यद्व आज्ञापयत् प्रभुः तद् अव्यग्रदिय श्रुत्वा कुरुद्वम् अविलम्बितम्। उग्रसेन क्षितेशेषो यद्व आज्ञापयत् प्रभुः तद् अव्यग्रद्रिय श्रुत्वा कुरुद्वम् अविलम्बितम्। उग्रसेन क्षितेशेषो यद्व आज्ञापयत् प्रभुः तद् अव्यग्रदिय श्रुत्वा कुरुद्वम् अविलम्बितम्।
माताजी से बढ़िया ट्रांसलेट वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। उग्रसेनः किंग उग्रसेन क्षित of the earth, Isha of rulers, Ishaha the ruler, Yat what, Vaha of you, Agyapayat has demanded, Prabhu our master, Tat that, Avyagradiyaha with undivided attention, Shrutva hearing,
kurudvam, you should do, avilambitam, without delay. Translation: Lord Balaram said, King Ugrasena is our master and the ruler of kings. With undivided attention, you should hear what he has ordered you to do, and then you should do it at once. The next verse: Yad yuyam bhagavahastvekam jitva adharmena dharmikam abadnitata tanmrishye bandunam aikya kamyaya. Translation and purport for the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. King Ugrasena has said, even though by irreligious means several of you defeated a single opponent who follows the religious codes, still I am tolerating this for the sake of unity among family members. Purport: Here Ugrasena implies that the Kurus should immediately bring Samba and present him to Lord Balaram.
Om Ajnanatya Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namavo Mishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashyati Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Kadada Shriva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So here, so this chapter is entitled Marriage of Samba. So Samba is the son of Lord Krishna, born through his wife Jambavati. So Samba once he went to the Hastinapur, and then he kidnapped the daughter of Duryodhan, that is Lakshmana. So when the Kurus came to know that Samba had kidnapped Lakshmana, and the Kurus became very much angry, and the Kurus attacked Lakshmana. In fact, it is described that all the Kurus were very proud. They felt that if the Vrishnis come here, when they learn that their son has been captured, we will break their pride. Thus, they will become subdued like bodily senses brought under strict control. So, they were also proud. They felt that they can overpower Vrishni. And then, they attacked Samba, who was actually going with Lakshmana. So at that time Samba, he fought very valiantly with the Kurus, and it is described that many Kurus, they actually simultaneously attacked Samba, and Samba fought so valiantly that Samba struck with arrow the 6 warriors headed by Karna. He pierced the 6 chariots with as many arrows, and each team of 4 horses with 4 arrows, and each chariot driver with a single arrow. That way he actually attacked all of them very valiantly. He fought with them. And then, but at a certain time, see, these Kurus, they felt that they cannot actually defeat Samba. And then they broke the codes of war, and they simultaneously attacked Samba. And then in that way, they actually captured Samba. They captured him with the ropes, and then they brought him to the Hastinapur. So when the Yadavas came to know that Samba had been captured by the Kurus, and they became very angry, and they immediately wanted to attack the Kurus. Ugrasena also wanted to attack, but then Balramji intervened. Balramji said that let us first try to pacify them before actually fighting them. In fact, it is described that Balramji
who purifies the age of quarrel did not want a quarrel between the Kurus and the Vrishnis. Therefore, he just wanted to like initiate a dialogue whether the whole issue can be solved through some dialogue instead of actually fighting. So he went with the chariot along with Uddhava to Hastinapur. And Balramji stayed at the outskirts of Hastinapur in the garden. And then he sent Uddhava informing the Kurus about his arrival. And the later Kurus actually came to meet Balramji. And it is described that those Kurus who are aware of the prowess of Balramji, they actually bowed down to Balramji. And then they exchanged their pleasantries among themselves, Balramji and the Kurus. So after that, Balramji is speaking these two verses to the Kurus. So Balramji is saying that King Ugrasena is our master and he is Kshiti Ishaha. He is the ruler of kings. And therefore, he says that Avyagra Diya, you must actually follow the order of King Ugrasena with undivided attention. And then execute that order immediately. Kurudvam Avilambitam. You must immediately execute the order. In the 22nd verse, he explains what was Ugrasena's order. What was Ugrasena's order? He says that Ugrasena is, Ugrasena tells the Kurus that even though all of you fought with Samba and captured him by using irreligious means, not following the codes of the war, but still I will tolerate this for the sake of unity among the family members. And then there's further things actually Ugrasena wanted to say. But when Balramji just mentioned this one particular sentence, even before Balramji wanted to complete the other things, whatever Ugrasena wanted to mention, the Kurus became immediately angry. And then they actually start speaking. That is from the 23rd verse onwards. So, Balramji did not complete that statement, but the Kurus actually immediately started speaking foul words from the next verse. So in this chapter, we will try to focus on few principles which come forth prominently in this chapter. And firstly, in this particular verse, Ugrasena is saying that even though you did not follow the religious codes of the war, but still, I tolerate that offense for the sake of unity among the family members. So, we'll try to actually elaborate on this principle of unity. So, there is something called as Mahavakya. Mahavakya means great utterance or great saying. So, Mahavakya, to be precise, the definition is that, say, Mahavakya of a particular scripture, a Mahavakya of the teachings of a person. So, Mahavakya literally means great utterances. To be more particular, Mahavakya means Mahavakyas express the universal message in a terse or concise statement. It expresses the universal message of that particular book, or the main principle, or the primary teaching of a particular book in a precise and a concise statement. Or another definition of Mahavakya is that Mahavakyas provide perspective and insights that tie the text together in a cohesive whole. I mean, there's one statement, Mahavakya. If you understand that, that actually gives, in one sense, the understanding of all the statements of the whole book. The essence of the whole scripture is actually brought forth in the Mahavakya. And, for example, the impersonalists, especially the Mayavadis and the impersonalists, they say the Mahavakyas of the Vedas, they especially refer to five statements. Tattvamasi, Aham Brahmasmi, Ekam Advitiya Brahma, Soham Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. These are some statements. So these statements essentially refer to the, essentially talk about the oneness of the living entity with the Supreme Lord. This material world is illusory and the oneness of the living entity with the Supreme Lord. So they say that only those statements in the Vedanta Sutra or in the Upanishads or in the Vedas which talk about the oneness of the living entity with the Supreme Lord, they are the Mahavakyas. Any statement which talks about the difference between the living entity and the Supreme Lord, they are called as Laghu Vakya. They should not be taken seriously. They are only useful in the conventional world for our practical dealings. But the ultimate, the primary statements which have to be given importance are the Mahavakyas, which talk about the oneness of the living entity with the Supreme Lord. So this is actually, of course, this is their imagination. There is no, they do not give any scriptural quotation for why these should be considered as Mahavakya, and anything which talks about the difference to be Laghu Vakya, they do not give actually explanation for that. Right, like for example, to give a simple understanding, suppose there is a statement, two statements. Ravi does not eat in the daytime, but Ravi is growing, his weight is increasing. Like, sir, but these two statements are there. So, if you logically try to, if somebody is not eating in the daytime, but his weight is increasing, so then you may come to the conclusion that means he is eating in the night time. But what the Mayavadis say is that they actually interpret by saying there is something wrong with the weighing machine. So when you say Ravi does not eat in the daytime, but his weight is growing, but they are more attached to the fact that his weight cannot grow, because they are so much attached to this conception that his weight cannot grow, they actually they give their own, with their imagination, they say that, oh, there is something wrong with the weighing machine. So similarly, so the Mayavadi is like, so the scriptures, they talk about the oneness of the living entity with the Supreme Lord. The scriptures, they also talk about the difference between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. Because the impersonalists and Mayavadis, they are very much attached to the conception that there cannot be any difference between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. So because of their conception, because of their attachment to the oneness, they actually interpret the scriptures by saying only those statements which talk about the oneness, they are the Mahavakya. Any statement which talk about the difference, it should be considered as Laghu Vakya. So only those so that is how they interpret. But anyway, I want to actually mainly highlight this principle of the concept of Mahavakya and Laghu Vakya. So concept of Mahavakya is that the primary teachings of the scriptures, according to the Mayavadis, the primary teaching of the scriptures is that the living entity is one with the Supreme Lord. And they ignore any statement which talks about the difference between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. So that they call as Laghu Vakya. So let us try to take this concept of Mahavakya and Laghu Vakya, let us apply this concept to the Srila Prabhupada's teachings. So when we talk about Prabhupada's teachings, we want to understand what are the Mahavakyas of the Prabhupada's teachings. Means like, what are the primary teachings? What are the most important things? What are the most important primary teachings of Srila Prabhupada? So according to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, in one of his books, he writes that he gives this concept of Mahavakya and Laghu Vakya, and then he tells what are the Mahavakyas of the different impersonalists. But what is the Mahavakya of Srila Prabhupada is Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the one Mahavakya, and another Mahavakya we'll take up a little later. So the first Mahavakya of Srila Prabhupada's teaching is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this statement, when we read actually Srila Prabhupada's books, or when we hear Srila Prabhupada's lectures, one cannot actually miss this point. One cannot miss this point, because this point that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it comes forth so strongly, whichever purport you may read, whichever lecture you may hear, it comes forth so clearly and emphatically that nobody can say that I never heard this in Prabhupada's lectures, or I never read this in Prabhupada's books. So this is the Mahavakya of Srila Prabhupada's teaching, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. And when Tamal Krishna Maharaj is saying this is the Mahavakya of Srila Prabhupada's teaching, if we try to understand this also as a scriptural basis, when the Mayavadis say that the oneness of the living entity of the Supreme Lord, for that there's no scriptural basis. Any statement which talks about the difference is Laghu Vakya, and for that there is no scriptural basis. There is no mention in the scriptures, there is no statement in the scripture which says that any statement which talks about difference between the living entity and the Supreme Lord is actually Laghu Vakya. But when we say Prabhupada's Mahavakya is Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for that there is a scriptural basis. Because how do we understand is that the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is called as the Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Phalam Shukamukat Amrita Drava Samyutam. The Vedas are like the desire tree. The ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge is Srimad Bhagavatam. Galitam Phalam. So Vyasadeva, in his maturity of spiritual realization, he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. Even after writing Vedanta Sutra and the Upanishads and Mahabharata, he was still dissatisfied. And then under the instructions of Narada Muni, he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. And what is the thesis statement of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Or what is the Paribhasa Sutra of the Srimad Bhagavatam? So in every book has something called as Paribhasa Sutra. Paribhasa Sutra is the thesis statement by which the entire book is revolving, which is the central pivot by which the entire book is revolving. Paribhasa Sutra is like the emperor statement of the particular book. Srila Jiva Goswami describes in great detail in the Krishna Sandarbha, but suffice it to say that what he proves in the Krishna Sandarbha is that the Paribhasa Sutra of the Srimad Bhagavatam is this statement: Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam Yete Chamsha Kalapumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. This 1.3.28, the first canto. So it says that Sutta Goswami, after describing all the incarnations, he says that all the previous incarnations which I have described, they are either expansions and expansions and expansions of the Mahavishnu. Ete Chamsha Kala Pumsa. Pumsa refers to Mahavishnu. All the incarnations are just expansions or expansion, they are all coming from Mahavishnu. But Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of God. Krishna is, incarnations come from Mahavishnu. Krishna is actually, Mahavishnu is in fact, he is the expansion of Krishna. So Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, he proves in detail that how this statement is the Paribhasa Sutra of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he also explains that suppose in a particular book, if there are other statements in the book, if they appear to be differing from what is stated in the Paribhasa Sutra, then those statements should be interpreted in such a way that agrees with the Paribhasa Sutra. Just like there are many kings are there. And there is one emperor. So all the small kings, they are made to obey the emperor, the Chakravarti. So similarly, there are other statements in the Srimad Bhagavatam which apparently they give the meaning that Krishna comes from Vishnu. There are certain statements in the Bhagavatam, the 4th canto, 10th canto, certain statements. One may say, if those statements are saying like that, then should we, why not accept those statements which say that Krishna comes from Vishnu? That means like, Vishnu, that can mean that Vishnu is the original Supreme Personality of God. So further, Jiva Goswami says, because we have proved that Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam is the Paribhasa Sutra, therefore other statements should be interpreted in such a way that it agrees with the Paribhasa Sutra, it does not actually disagree with the Paribhasa Sutra. So therefore he says that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. And then he also raises the argument, what about those statements in other scriptures which may say that Krishna comes from Vishnu, or which may say that some other demigod is the Supreme Lord? Why not give more weightage to those statements? And further, Jiva Goswami gives the argument that we have already proved that Srimad Bhagavatam is the Chakravarti among all the Pramanas. It is the emperor among all the Pramanas. So therefore, the statements in the Srimad Bhagavatam should be given more weightage than the statements from the other scriptures. It is like Supreme Court and Munsif Court. The statements from the other scriptures are like the verdicts of the Munsif Court or the District Court or the verdicts of the High Court. And the statements of the Srimad Bhagavatam are like the verdict of the Supreme Court. So definitely you will give more weightage to the Supreme Court verdict than the Munsif Court verdict. And in the Supreme Court verdict, in the statements of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to give the highest weightage to the Paribhasa Sutra. And that Paribhasa Sutra says that Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. And therefore, when Tamal Krishna Maharaj is saying that the Mahavakya of Srila Prabhupada's teaching is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is actually completely in agreement with the teachings of the scriptures. It is completely in agreement with the teachings of the Paribhasa Sutra of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the ripened fruit of the tree of the Vedic knowledge. So therefore, this is the first Mahavakya of Srila Prabhupada's teachings. And what is the second Mahavakya of Srila Prabhupada's teachings? And which is especially relevant with regard to the verse which we are reading today. The second Mahavakya of Srila Prabhupada's teaching, so there is, when Srila Prabhupada was in his last days, he was in the deathbed in Vrindavan. So at that time, there was one devotee, different devotees were writing letters to Srila Prabhupada, and every day, Tamal Krishna Maharaj would actually read out those letters for Srila Prabhupada. There was one devotee in particular, he wrote a letter which was very steeped with so many emotions. And that devotee wrote a letter in which he said that, I want to give my longevity to you. My desire is that I want to die, and whatever life, whatever number of years I have, I want to give those years to you so that you can live long. And In fact, when the devotees were reading over the, when Tamal Krishna Maharaj was reading that letter, that devotee wrote that letter in such a heartfelt manner that all the devotees were actually hearing that letter, they were like, they became very emotional. So that time, Bhaktacharya Maharaj says that Prabhupada, when he heard that letter, although all the other devotees in the room, they became so emotional, Prabhupada gave a very unusual reply. And that reply of Prabhupada, that went deep into the heart of Bhaktacharya Maharaj, and which he repeats quite often in his lectures. So what was the reply of Srila Prabhupada? The Prabhupada said, your real love for me would be shown by how you cooperate with each other. You show your real love for me by how you cooperate with each other. So Prabhupada, the Bhaktacharya Maharaj says that Prabhupada asked from us a more compelling proof of love than simply some heartfelt expressions, however sincere they may be. And then he says that Prabhupada says that the actions of cooperation, they are more important than just ardent words. So according to Ravindra Swarup Prabhu and certain other Srila Prabhupada's disciples like Sureshwar Prabhu, they say the Mahavakya, the another Mahavakya of Srila Prabhupada's teaching is that actually cooperation. So let us try to understand this particular word cooperation. And Ravindra Swarup Prabhu explains in his Founder Acharya document, he says how this word cooperation has a, it has a very special significance in Srila Prabhupada's teachings. And he gives various quotations. And to the, like, and he gives a various quotations from Prabhupada's lectures and letters. Like for example, in one place Prabhupada says, he gives a definition of bhakti. In place Prabhupada says that, what is the definition of bhakti? When you do something in cooperation with the Supreme, that is called as bhakti. Means like, another place he says, like, bhakti is the yoga of cooperation. And bhakti is, yoga means cooperation with the Supreme. So in that sense, he is equating bhakti with cooperation with the Supreme Lord. And we can refer to three particular letters of Srila Prabhupada, and in which Prabhupada actually, how he highlights the importance of cooperation. There is one letter which Srila Prabhupada wrote to one of his god brothers before he started ISKCON. In fact, when he went to America in the 1965, when he was beginning to, when he wanted to start a temple, that time he was seeking the help of one of his god brothers. So that time he wrote one letter to one of the god brothers. So few particular things which are actually very relevant here. Yeah. So in that letter he says to his god brother, so here is a chance of cooperation between us, and I shall be glad to know if you are ready for this cooperation. I came here to study the situation and I find it very nice. And if you are agreeable to cooperate with it, it will all be very nice by the will of Srila Prabhupada. He refers to Srila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur. If you then take it for granted that I am one of the worker of Sri Mayapur Chaitanya Mutt. So in this verse, in this particular letter, Prabhupada is actually, this word cooperation comes again and again. If you are ready to cooperate, here is a chance of cooperation. And then, because he did not get that cooperation from his god brothers, he was actually helpless. He had to start a separate institution called as ISKCON. In fact, initially he did not want to start ISKCON. He wanted to start another branch of Chaitanya Math in the America. He wanted to cooperate with his God brothers. So he just wanted to start another branch of the Chaitanya Math. But when he did not receive the cooperation, he was helpless, so he had to start ISKCON. So this is, and then after starting ISKCON, 2.5 years after starting ISKCON, then he wrote another letter to one of his God brothers. There again we see Srila Prabhupada's eagerness to cooperate. So in that letter Prabhupada says, so in the matter of my activities of spreading the objective of Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, I am prepared to cooperate with the Gaudiya mission in all respects. But I do not know under what condition you wish to cooperate with me. But I am prepared to accept any condition for getting your cooperation in full. So I shall be glad to know from you under what condition our cooperation is possible. But I am prepared in every respect and I shall await your reply with interest. And then further later in the letter he says, so if it is now possible to combine ourselves together, I shall be the first man to welcome this good opportunity. But apart from others, if Gaudiya Mission is prepared to cooperate with me, I am prepared to accept this cooperation in any condition. Then after writing this letter, few days later, Prabhupada disclosed his mind to Brahmananda Prabhu in another letter to his to Brahmananda Prabhu. In that Prabhupada says that regarding the Gaudiya Mission letter of so and so, I have replied asking them the terms of cooperation which he has mentioned. Let us see their terms, although it is a hopeless business. Still, as you know, I never become hopeless in any case. So I am negotiating with them to see how we can cooperate. So basically the point is that Ravindra Swarup Prabhu is trying to highlight how this Prabhupada's is very eager to follow this particular instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to cooperate with other God brothers. So in that way he says, this letter, this cooperation is the Mahavakya of Srila Prabhupada. In one of the lectures, Srinivas Radhanath Swami Maharaj is explaining, suppose in a meeting, we are trying to resolve some issue, we are trying to resolve some conflict. So one person is saying, Prabhupada said this, and then so we should make this decision. Another person is saying, Prabhupada said this in this particular class, in this particular, so therefore we should make this decision. And then, so then finally they somehow resolve the issue. But after resolving the issue, the problem is solved, but then the ultimately what happens is that if the devotees become divided or if the institution becomes divided, then Maharaj said it is like suppose if there is a cockroach in the house, so you want to drive away the cockroach, so you bring an atom bomb and then put it. So cockroaches are destroyed, but then what has happened is that the house itself is destroyed. So he said, so in resolving, so that means, one sense, based on Prabhupada's teaching, you have solved the issue. But what you have done is that you have ended up not following the Mahavakya of Srila Prabhupada's teachings, which is the cooperation, which is the unity among the devotees. So therefore it is a failure. So therefore he mentioned, in resolving the issue, at least what I understood is that, what should be given, what should be always kept in mind is the that it should never result in not following the Mahavakya of Srila Prabhupada's teaching, that is the unity and cooperation. So therefore, in that sense, this is the Mahavakya of Srila Prabhupada's teachings. And when we read another lecture, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj explained how this statement of Srila Prabhupada is so deep. That is, you show your love for me by how you cooperate with each other. So in this particular statement, we can see two aspects of Srila Prabhupada's love. One is that Srila Prabhupada's love for the mission of the Lord, and another is Srila Prabhupada's love for the missionaries. So when somebody has love for the mission, but when a person neglects the missionaries involved in the mission, then that is like an impersonalism. Means like one is focused in preaching, but then one doesn't take care of the devotees, one doesn't take care of the missionaries, then it is like one does not have a personal attitude to the other devotees. It is like a little impersonalism. And when a person is so much focused in taking care of the missionaries, but forgets the mission of the Lord, that is more on a sentimental platform. But in this statement, Prabhupada's love towards the mission as well as the missionaries, both are there in this statement. So Maharaj explained in the class, because in this statement, Prabhupada's love for the mission is there because what is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission? To distribute love of God at Prithivite, to distribute in every town and village. But Mahaprabhu in that Adi Leela, in that verse, he says that, I am just a one gardener. There are so many fruits of love of God that is there. How can I alone distribute so many fruits? So if you read that purport, Prabhupada is indicating that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is seeking the cooperation of everyone. Because it is not possible to distribute love of Godhead without the cooperation of everyone. It is not an individual effort. Because especially the mission of Lord Chaitanya is to actually distribute love of God everywhere. So it is not possible by few people or alone or something. It requires the cooperation of everyone. So therefore, in order to execute the mission of the Lord, Prabhupada is saying, you have to cooperate with each other. So in that statement of Prabhupada expresses his love towards Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire to distribute love of God. And Prabhupada's love towards the missionaries is also there in that statement, because Prabhupada understands that in order for the devotees to sustain, we need the help of other devotees. In Kali Yuga, if we have to practice Krishna consciousness, we need the help of others. We need the association of others. We need the help of others. We need each other. So Prabhupada, by saying that you show your love for me, how you cooperate with each other, by that he shows that because only when the devotees cooperate with each other, their individual Krishna consciousness will also be sustained. And only when they cooperate with each other, the mission of the Lord can also be fulfilled. So therefore, Prabhupada's love for the mission as well as the missionaries, both are actually embedded in that particular statement. So this actually, that is the integrated vision. Isolated vision means only having love for the Lord but not love for the devotees. Or only for the love for the devotees but not having love for the Lord. So therefore, this particular statement of Prabhupada is actually the Mahavakya. Another Mahavakya Srila Prabhupada. And this teaching comes very prominently in the story of Prithu Maharaj. So I would want to highlight from the story of Prithu Maharaj. So in the fourth canto, and we read these three chapters, 17, 18 and 19. So essentially two pastimes come. The 17th and the 18th chapter, there is the pastime of Prithu Maharaj milking the earth. And in the 19th chapter, and also the continuation of that in the 20th chapter, Prithu Maharaj performing the 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices. So let us try to I'll try to discuss this pastime in a very briefly to highlighting certain points. So in the 17th chapter begins with, after Prithu Maharaj was coronated, he saw that the citizens were starving of hunger. And he tried to actually contemplate about the reason why there are no food grains, why the citizens are starving. And he contemplated for a long time and he saw that, oh, citizens are performing their sacrifice, they are actually performing their duties, but still why are they suffering of hunger? Why the earth is, why are they not getting the food grains? Then, after contemplation for a long time, deeply, then he came to the conclusion that Mother Earth is responsible. She is not actually giving the food grains. She is not producing the seeds and she is not giving the food grains. And after understanding the reason, cause of the whole situation, he became angry with Mother Earth. And then he took up his bow and arrow in order to attack Mother Earth with red hot eyes. And it is described, the anger of Prithu Maharaj is described in the verse that Prithu Maharaj became as angry as Lord Shiva. And taking up his bow, he aimed an arrow at the earth. So at that time, Mother Earth took the shape of a cow, thinking that, oh, if I take the shape of a cow, then Prithu Maharaj will not attack me. But then, although she took the shape of a cow and she started, but Prithu Maharaj still remained angry and he started following after that cow. And then Mother Earth, Mother Earth became very fearful. And then Mother Earth stopped and she started posing different arguments to Prithu Maharaj. Why you should not attack me? So, you can read the chapters and then. So she gave many different logical arguments to Prithu Maharaj, but Prithu Maharaj gave counter arguments to Mother Earth, but she still remained angry. And later, when Mother Earth saw that Prithu Maharaj is still angry, still he is trying to attack me, Mother Earth finally surrendered to Prithu Maharaj and she offered beautiful prayers. So, expecting that at least when I surrender to him, he will actually protect me. So, Prithu Maharaj accepted the prayers, but still Prithu Maharaj remained angry and still he was trying to attack Mother Earth. So, like, especially when you read this incident, later in the 22nd chapter, when Maitreya Rishi described the qualities of Prithu Maharaj, in one of the verse, he says that, Durdarshe Tejasa Vagner Mahendra Iva Durjaya Titikshaya Daritraya. So he describes different qualities of Prithu Maharaj. One of the qualities he explains is that about Prithu Maharaj's tolerance. So for different qualities, he compares Prithu Maharaj's different quality to other personalities who exhibited those qualities to a very high degree. So here, he says that Prithu Maharaj is tolerant like Mother Earth. Titikshaya Daritriva. So Mother Earth, one of the Mother Earth is called as a symbol of tolerance. In many places in the purport, Prabhupada writes that Mother Earth is the symbol of tolerance. She is so tolerant, although people are trying to like excavate, they are trying to like do so many things to the earth, but still she is tolerating. So Prithu Maharaj, for his tolerance is compared to Mother Earth, but here in this pastime, Prithu Maharaj is trying to attack the symbol of tolerance. Then finally, when Mother Earth agreed to give back all the seeds and the grains, then the Prithu Maharaj's anger subsided. So here in this pastime we see that any quality, tolerance or intolerance, sometimes people say ahimsa paramo dharma, ahimsa is the highest dharma. But then any quality should be exhibited in such a way, understanding what is the effect of it in the society. So Prithu Maharaj, he exhibited his intolerance towards the symbol of tolerance out of concern for all the living entities who are starving of hunger. If he had shown tolerance towards the Mother Earth because she had taken the form of a cow, or because she is surrendering, etc. And then he would have committed violence towards the whole, all the citizens in the country. So therefore, when you are exhibiting a quality, we should know that what is the effect it is having on the greater society. So now, we'll go to the next pastime. The 19th chapter, Prithu Maharaj's performance of 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices, that is described in Maitreya Rishi. And in that pastime, and Prithu Maharaj performs the 99 sacrifices, and he is performing the 100th sacrifice, Indra comes dressed as a sannyasi and he actually steals the horse. So Indra, Prithu Maharaj sends his son in order to get back the horse. And he goes back, and then when he sees that a sannyasi is actually taking the horse away, Prithu Maharaj's son did not want to attack the sannyasi, and then he just gets back the horse and then comes. But then again Indra comes in the disguise of some other form of a sannyasi, and again he steals. Again Prithu Maharaj's son goes back to get back the horse, and this way it was happening again and again. And many common people, seeing this incident, if he can dress as a sannyasi, and if he does many abominable things as stealing, and if he goes unpunished, then we can also take up the dress of a sannyasi, and we can also commit so many sinful activities, and we will also not get punished. Many people were taking inspiration from this incident for performing adharma in the dress of a sannyasi. So at that time, so Prithu Maharaj became so angry, and then he takes up his bow and arrow to go and attack Indra. So what I want to highlight is that Prithu Maharaj was angry in the previous pastime also with Mother Earth, and in this pastime also Prithu Maharaj is exhibiting intolerable anger, where it is described that when Prithu Maharaj became angry with Indra, his eyes were like very difficult to dusprekshya. These eyes were terrible to behold, and with intolerable speed he actually started following Indra. So at that time, when he was about to kill Indra, the priest stopped Prithu Maharaj, "Please do not kill Indra, and it is not proper that killing takes place in the sacrificial arena. And we will actually call Indra, and we will, by chanting the mantras, and we will kill him." So then, when Prithu Maharaj, want to highlight is that Prithu Maharaj was similarly angry towards Indra in this incident. But here, so at that time, Lord Brahma descends from his abode, and then he starts giving different arguments to Prithu Maharaj that why you should actually stop the 100th sacrifice. Because you have appeared in this world in order to establish dharma. But your performance of the 100th sacrifice is leading to the propagation of adharma. Because it is inspiring Indra to actually steal the horse meant for the sacrifice in the dress of a sannyasi, and which is inspiring many common people to commit adharmic activities in the dress of a sannyasi. So in this way, your performance of the 100th sacrifice is leading to the propagation of adharma. So therefore, you must stop the 100th sacrifice. So many times, when we are actually absorbed in an activity, we may not realize that how it is having a wrong effect on others. So therefore, we have to be always open to the feedback of somebody who is observing our activity. Sometimes when you become caught up in the passion of doing something, even though it may be service to the Lord, Prithu Maharaj is only performing the sacrifices which are meant for the welfare of the world, but in the passion of being absorbed in those activities, he could not see that how it is actually leading to the propagation of adharma. So at that time he happened to hear from an observer, and when he got the feedback from the observer, he was open to the feedback of an observer, and then he stopped the 100th Ashwamedha Yajna. He not only stopped the 100th Ashwamedha Yajna, but he actually cooperated with Indra and he made friendship with Indra. So what I want to highlight is that there is another verse in the 4th canto, 21st, 2nd chapter, where Maitreya Rishi describes about another quality of Prithu Maharaj. So he says that, Varshatisma yata kamam parjanya iva tarpayan samudra iva durbodha sattvena achala radiva. Sattvena achala radiva. That means, Prithu Maharaj, he was compared to Mount Meru, Sumeru, for his fixity of purpose. So Mount Sumeru is the central pivot of the whole Jambudvipa. In fact, Bhagavatam describes how the height and length and diameter of the Mount Meru. And like Mount Meru cannot be moved from its place even an inch. So what is described is that when Prithu Maharaj is determined to do something, nobody can change it. Nobody can actually deviate him in his fixity of purpose. Like in the beginning of a sacrifice, a person takes a sankalpa that I will actually not get up without completing the sacrifice. So Prithu Maharaj had taken a sankalpa that I will perform the 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices. But in this case, Prithu Maharaj, for the sake of cooperation, for the sake of the welfare of this world, he did not exhibit this quality of fixity of purpose. He actually stopped the 100th sacrifice and he cooperated with Indra. So basically we see that in both these pastimes, Prithu Maharaj was extremely angry. But in the first pastime, Prithu Maharaj continued to be angry, although Mother Earth took the shape of a cow, although she gave so many arguments, although she surrendered to Prithu Maharaj and offered a prize, he continued to be angry for the sake of the welfare of the world. And in the second pastime, Prithu Maharaj suppressed his anger again for the sake of the welfare of the world. When he understood that his becoming angry and attacking Indra, continuing to perform the 100 sacrifices, is leading to the performance of adharma. So what is the actually... So what made Prithu Maharaj cooperate with Indra? There's basically essentially two things. Because his obedience to Lord Brahma and his love for the Supreme Lord. So Lord Brahma here acted like a guru of Prithu Maharaj, and his love for Lord Vishnu. So cooperation is possible when there is obedience to the spiritual master and when there is love for the Supreme Lord. So basically we see that in this particular pastime, again, it shows that how the cooperation is the Mahavakya. Although he was only performing the Ashwamedha sacrifices for the welfare of the people, but it was leading to the adharma, and it was leading to so many problems. So he actually stopped that for the sake of a higher principle of following the Mahavakya, that is the cooperation with other devotees, which is in the case of Indra. Which is, in this case, it is with Indra. So therefore, that this is another teaching of another Mahavakya Srila Prabhupada's teachings, that is cooperation. You show your love for me by how you cooperate with each other. So essentially that Ugrasena, that's what he's telling to the Hastinapur, the Kurus, that I although you have actually used irreligious means to attack Samba, but I tolerate your faults for the sake of unity among the family members. So I think I would like to end here. Anybody has any questions or comments, we'll take personally. Grantharan Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.